Around the NFL podcast. How much do we want to baby these people?
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I am coming to you from a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, what is that attached
that
to?
That was my favorite money drop.
Yeah, I like the idea of now he's just going to start coming after us with his own personal takes.
Is it us, though? I feel like it's a pull quote from a previous episode that none of us remember.
I feel like I've said that exact quote at least 20 times on this show over the years.
But if money does start getting aggro, it makes sense. He's been doing this labor for free for about 6 years now.
Yeah.
It seems like it would break a labor law at some point to not be compensating a contracted employee to do extra work around the office for us. Mm. Not that I want to raise that up the flagpole, as Wes likes to say.
This is the post-Super Bowl calendar. I was out a week ago. Missed our Thursday show. Wes, you'll be out this Thursday.
Correct.
For your baby moon.
I'm not sure if that was supposed to go public, but yes.
It's out.
It can't come back.
I mean, we could pull it back right now. We could do the old classic stop down.
Well, I think this is one of those deals where you just take what's coming to you, and I'll take the punishment if I have any coming. I'm not the one who created the baby moon.
No, and I'd like to.
We weren't pegging you with that.
Quite frankly, I'd like to know who did create the baby moon, because you also, and it's on your radar that you have a quote unquote push gift to procure for your lovely wife, Lakeisha.
Well, two phrases that have entered my life in the last year, and I'm of the opinion they probably entered American pop culture within the last couple of years. These phrases did not exist a few years ago. They are made up like the couple shower was made up in the 1990s just to satisfy the fact that women are taking much more control than men in relationships than they were back in the day.
Whatever happened to Gary Cooper?
He died.
Is Cooper getting a push gift? Because here's the thing. We're married now, okay? We have limited, unless you're well off, we're coming from the same financial pool here. And I'll tell you something. As a young father, as you guys all are, it's expensive. Should we be buying a big hunk of jewelry when a child's on the way?
I don't buy jewelry. As a general rule.
The gift thing, I like that idea. The baby moon, I think people are doing that somewhat. I don't like putting like a name and a requirement on the baby. Like, you probably went away with your wives while she was pregnant at some point just to take a break, because that's what people do.
It may not have been branded yet, though.
Right. It wasn't, hey, because you're pregnant. It's like, hey, this is our last chance to do something maybe for a little bit.
Got to get that going before the woman is pregnant, though, if you really want to go on a vacation and let loose. But then you don't know. Suddenly you're pregnant, and bang, it ends.
What if the gift? A bang involved. I guess the gift, it's tricky, because it's like, you know, she's giving birth. Like, what gift is really going to measure up? You can't, like, give her a Barnes & Noble gift card or something.
Well, I'd say, what are you telling? And I get
like, you can't really match the baby.
I get that you're creating these gifts about everything, but a push gift is a gift on top of the fact that a new life has been created. What are you telling the daughter or son that's arriving to the earth? You're good, but actually we need to get a trinket for it. Now, the women do they do amazing stuff, but it's like we're attacking a gift on top of new life. Mm. What are you telling the child, like, psychologically 20 years later?
It's all fair, Mark, that you bring it up. Wes, I'll throw out one for you. I know you're a guy, as you get older, you like to, you know, sit back with some jazz. see how Lakeisha likes it if you give her, like, a nice jazz mix CD.
A gift aimed at Wes.
A CD?
Like, here are some jazz songs I like that I ripped onto a CD, and here it is for you.
You can make a playlist, you know.
I feel like I've already given her...
Rip the CD. Physical data.
I feel like I've already given her progeny, and that's enough. But, you know, this is one of those you got to pick your battles things, and I don't feel like
you just picked one, I think, because she listens to the podcast. And I don't think she's going to like the previous 3 minutes here.
Yeah, as she gets her baby moon and her push gift, she doesn't care.
I think your battle is you're allowed to come here and say what you want, but you're doing everything she asks every single time in this arrangement. I'm not hearing you win any battles, so.
Oh, I don't take those. The battles that I win, I don't take public.
Mm. Jazz mix CD.
That's where I walked into the newsroom today, and Keisha immediately got on my case for giving her some sort of grief I don't even remember in the last show. So I just want to say I'm on the side of the push gift.
So you're make pandering. Once it's just it's the typical Greg Leverpool pander to whoever is controversial and hope it doesn't seem totally fraudulent.
Yeah, that's exact opposite of what Greg told me on several walks home from bars in Miami.
There you go.
Ouch. And Greg, you're here. You're potentially in the mix of jury duty, but do you think and so far they haven't needed you, do you think they're aware that you are by nature a contrarian? I think even you would say. You like to mix it up and
no, I'm not.
Tell the story from both sides. You're even not a contrarian on topic of whether you're a contrarian.
An original thinker.
Do you think the LA court system is like, we don't want that guy in a jury room?
I hope.
We got a whole slate of cases. We got to keep moving through the system here.
Well, I did get called for a big dog biting trial just four years ago. So my reputation, I guess, didn't precede me then. But I got good advice.
It's not a big deal.
From someone to get out of jury duty, which I had never heard before. And I think this is good advice. Just stare at the lawyer. Just stare them down. Just stare them down while they're going through everything to the point where it's like awkward and they'll never pick you.
Like you're like, a Cape Fear.
People are like, ooh, I'm going to like pretend that I'm, you know, really angry about like, you know, whatever the case is.
I'm a cop's niece.
Right, exactly. It's like, but you don't want to do that. You don't want to be lying. You don't want to be making up a story or acting. But this idea where he says, if you just stare down the lawyers and just be weird about it, they'll just be like, I don't want this guy.
Tell us how that goes.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck. All right, today's show. We're spinning the QB carousel. It's been a bit. We haven't done this in a while. And how fun is it? Ricky, let's spin the QB carousel. Because is there ever been a better QB carousel this time of year? I say no way. Especially the news that became official yesterday with Philip Rivers. Now he's definitely in the mix. So maybe a game, maybe we'll see how close we can get to nailing all these guys. Maybe we'll kind of right now make a, what's that, Mark?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm just driving around and I heard just the last sentence that you said. Yeah.
What'd I say?
Erica understands. She played the appropriate sound clip.
So immature. So we're going to go through every player. Talk about what makes sense logically when the carousel stops, where they could head, where they should head, where they will head. Before we do that, some news.
I plan to play football. So, yeah, I mean, again, where that's going to be, I think we'll get sorted out over the next, 3 months, I guess. I've never been in this position. I usually don't even know when the league year starts and when all those things are. So,
oh, shucks.
We'll just kind of see. Again, I'm very thankful for the 16 years, and if there's another, I'll be thankful for that one.
Ah, yes, those were the words of Philip Rivers at the conclusion of the regular season over a month ago. And, yes, the path yet remains completely clear for the veteran quarterback after the team and Rivers mutually agreed that the quarterback will enter free agency and will not return to the Chargers. The team announced that on Monday. And a statement went as follows from Tom Telesco, the GM. After stepping back a bit from last season, we reconnected with Philip and his representatives to look at how the 2019 played out, assess our future goals, evaluate the current state of the roster, and see if there was a path forward that made sense for both parties. As we talked through various scenarios, it became apparent that it would be best for Philip and the Chargers to turn the page on what truly has been a remarkable run. Greg, I know you have been outspoken on social media that maybe the Chargers haven't given Philip Rivers the respect he deserves. How did you like how yesterday played out?
I mean, they tried to get out in their mind in front of it. We already kind of knew this was happening. There wasn't much more they could do. The statement that ownership gave was very strange, but I think it sort of doesn't matter. I guess at this point, how they handled it, they clearly wanted to go in a different direction. Rivers seems like he's fine with that. One thing that really struck me was Eric Weddle's comments that he was really excited when he left the Chargers to find out what other organizations are like. And I think Philip Rivers has probably that instinct with him too. He's talked to a lot of ex-Chargers who have played on other teams, and it's a case where it really is mutual. I mean, the Chargers didn't want him, but I think Philip Rivers is ready to at least see what's behind door number two if there's anything good.
I think one of the biggest misperceptions out there is that because he's got this house in Florida, he's definitely going to a Florida team. And Mike Garofalo touched on this.
Do people actually think that?
People believe that he's going to the Bucks because he's got a house in Florida.
Untrack-minded?
And Mike Garofalo talked about it. He said, I've been told to ignore geography altogether with Philip Rivers, that it really means nothing. To me, the Colts seem to make the most sense. But I'm sort of interested in this because there was a scenario, if one or two plays goes differently in that game where Tyrod Taylor is warming up on the sideline ready to go in for him, there's a scenario where he's benched for the final 2 months of the season, and his value is perceived a little bit differently on the free agent market. This is the guy the Chargers have been ready to move on from for a while.
We watched that moment in that game together, the Chargers game, and I always felt like there was a lacking and a lagging support from Anthony Lynn and the coaching staff down the stretch. And we talk about, does Belichick want Tom Brady back? Well, I think Anthony Lynn was a factor in this too, and it just strikes me that, and Greg, I think you brought this up last week, and it is a very Chargers-esque San Diego into LA transition thing, but the departure of Nick Foles from Philadelphia after one or two amazing seasons there, I get what he did, was 10 times more newsworthy and drawing more magnetized hot takes and opinions and what happens next than this, where he sort of floats on from a team he's been the ultimate Iron Man from for a decade and a half.
It's probably because, you know, they've lost their fans in between, and you know, he's a San Diego guy. It is crazy that, you know, there's a lot of stats that are inflated because of the era you play in. You know, Rivers is sixth, I think, in touchdowns and yards all time. But he's also eighth in wins, and I'm not a huge QB wins
You're not allowed to be anyways, so
but
don't even try.
That's not a stat that's inflated because of era, and it really does show how long and how much he's played and how much they've won, the Chargers. That he's the eighth most winning quarterback in NFL history is kind of, when I saw that, I was shocked by that, but it makes sense considering how many straight games he's played. I'll miss him. If he doesn't get it, he seems like he has at least a chance to retire, I feel like.
Really?
I think he has no interest in retiring, but I just don't know, and we'll get to the wheel, if there's definitely a starting job out there for him. The carousel. Is he going to want to keep playing to be someone's backup? I don't know.
Here's a what if for the ages. I know this is kind of Dave Dempsey
territory. I'm not assuming he's getting a job.
I guarantee he's getting a job.
Maybe some of the lack of...
starting job?
Yes.
Fanfare, save for the carousel. Is because obviously you made the point about San Diego, never won a Super Bowl. If he wins a Super Bowl with the Chargers in 2007, I wonder if there's like a whole other universe where what comes from winning a Super Bowl and the fan swell and all that stuff, if they ever leave San Diego.
Well, I mean, we've seen, you know, what Peyton Manning did for the city of Indianapolis, what Brett Favre did for Green Bay, things like that, where, you know, there are massive economic impacts. I can't think of a quarterback leaving a team who's done more for the team, where the team did not even nearly enough for Philip Rivers compared to what he did for them, and that he leaves and it's like a fart in the wind. It's like there couldn't be one dried up press release.
I don't want to defend the Chargers, but I will say this, that they are in a different position than you can't like look at what the Giants just did with Eli and be like, well, look at they gave him a press conference and threw him a parade. Well, Eli was done. He was retiring. It's a little awkward because Rivers, they don't want him to be their quarterback anymore, but he wants to go be a star quarterback for somebody else, and that's a little tricky. But you would hope that when this is all over, whether it's in a year or two or three, who knows with Rivers, that there is eventually a press conference and the Chargers do it the right way, but I guess we'll have to wait to see.
I mean, the crazy stat in terms of lack of support is I went back and looked at the PFF pass blocking grades the last few years. The Chargers were 30th and 31st the last 2 years, which is one reason why I think Tom Brady should not go to the Chargers if they're as interested as everyone says. They haven't had an above-average pass-blocking offensive line, according to PFF, since 2007. I mean, that's 12 straight seasons of inadequacy. It's pretty amazing that he held up and that he succeeded as much as he did with that and what was mostly a bad running game, too.
Did his and maybe the metrics you're referring to, it could be explained, but did he, as a one of the most classic stationary pocket passers of his generation, maybe the prototypical guy, would that lead to your offensive line numbers being hurt because he wasn't somebody that was able to move, or are those things...
Shouldn't it definitely...
In PFF's grades, they would say no because they're grading individuals on a play-to-play basis. And Rivers, I think's best trait is his defining trait is how good he is versus pressure. I don't know if there's a single quarterback of the last 20 years who stands in there and makes the throws against pressure. He doesn't take a lot of sacks
but
either.
But Stone Age ponies tend to make their lines look less attractive. But
he was not a guy who took a lot of sacks, though.
Stone Age ponies, we're in a different era now than we were 5 years ago and 10 years ago. Quarterbacks like Rivers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, all Stone Age ponies, by your definition, made their offensive lines look so much better because of what they did before the snap.
Well, hold it. So there's a difference between Dan Marino has a quick release and he's a Stone Age pony than Joe Flacco just getting massacred because he also can't read the field quick enough and he cannot move and he cannot save himself.
Joe Flacco was never in Rivers and Brady and the Mannings class as far as pre-snap recognition.
Well, when I say Stone Age pony, I'm not exclusively talking about top 10 quarterbacks of all time. I'm talking about slow guys who can't move in the pocket, whether they suck or they're great.
Those guys aren't coming out of college anymore. Those guys basically don't exist anymore.
And I think that's one of the reasons why this is the most extreme buyer's market we've ever seen at quarterback is because the game has changed. And we're behind.
Good tease, Wes.
We're about 5 years behind the curve, where 5 years ago, NFL types said, we can't trust offensive linemen to come into the league anymore and block defensive linemen. And now 5 years later, they're saying we can't trust quarterbacks who can't make the first guy miss on pass rush. And I think teams are looking for a totally different quarterback now than they were 5 years ago.
I was out of town this weekend, Wes. I stayed attached to the West Coast via the Gram. I just got to say that slow motion walk on Abbot Kinney.
Oh, that was something else.
Whoo, with the jacket slung over your shoulder and the aviators on and the sun... shining off the aviators, and Lakeisha with that luscious Beyonce lemonade hair. Whoa. Power couple.
Well, I think this is all because of phone technology now. there was nothing scripted about that moment. It's simply what phones can make you look like now.
Saucy. All right, moving on. Yes, the carousel's coming up. Speaking of the carousel, Taysom Hill. You know Taysom Hill. In fact, the NFL Twitter... got a little crazy yesterday because Taysom Hill and the discussion about where he stands, what his future is in the NFL, what he can do, and Hill stoked those flames in a recent interview with the AP. Had this to say, I definitely view myself as a franchise quarterback. I think as you look at the other questions, is it New Orleans? Is it New Orleans? New Orleans? Is it somewhere else? As you go into free agency, this is the time that you start to find out how people view you. We haven't gotten into free agency long enough to really know how these guys view me, and we'll just handle it as it comes. The Saints have three quarterbacks hitting free agency. Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, and Taysom Hill. Hill doesn't sound like a guy, Mark, that... it wants to do the thing where he throws the ball five times and runs 50 plays all season anymore.
Well, he's not 22, and I think that if you're him and you're looking at the trajectory of your chances to become a starter, it's sort of a sell-high moment because he was the most magnificent player in that Saints-Vikings game they lost. But
I haven't heard that. No one has brought that up in the last
but
week.
But every time he kind of touched the ball, he did things that you just want to see more. And you're turning 30. I don't know... It's going to take a team of a specific type of faith in looking at Taysom Hill that way. I know people like to point out Mohamed Sanu has more pass attempts than Taysom Hill. I get it, but there's a lot of...
That's a good one, though.
True.
It's true, but every time they've used him,
he's got more perfect than Joe Burrow, too.
different situation, but I would, if I could pick, would like to see Taysom Hill, and we'll get into this, stay right where he is and be maximized in a different way than last year and maybe hit a double-headed quarterback system.
But he's not – these quotes are weird because he's not a free agent. He's a restricted free agent. And it seems to me that Sean Payton is just trying to create a market for him because they would love someone to give up a pick for Taysom Hill, I guess.
Wait, what's Sean Payton doing?
What kind of
pick? Sean Payton spoke with with, what was it, the Peter King podcast or whatever, saying, you know, hey, like, he, if someone wants to go get him, you know, that that if we put a first round pick on him, like, that is just, you know, what we would have to get back, you know, for him to move on. If they did put a first round pick, I mean, no one's giving up a first round pick for Taysom Hill. I hesitate to be.
That?
Because I just don't – I think if you look at the history of
– the history is very rich here.
What people have given up picks for, a guy with that little experience throwing the ball in the NFL, there's no reason for me to think that any – I don't think anyone would give up a third-round pick necessarily for Taysom Hill.
Ooh, but I disagree there.
It doesn't – it sort of – like, who are these teams out there?
You don't know until it happens.
Right, and I think that's what Sean Payton and Taysom Hill and his agent are trying to do, is create a market. Because to me, Sean Payton spoke with actions. I mean, Drew Brees was not on the field for 5 straight weeks, and Taysom Hill didn't play. And so he said to me, I do not believe that you're a starting quarterback in the NFL right now. No matter how many people he's been telling.
You think that would play out again next year if the same
maybe
thing happened?
I don't know.
Can we put it in context?
What?
That he paid Teddy Bridgewater more than any backup in the league, and he already made that bet, so he had to lie.
But you play who you think's going to win you your games. I mean, he paid $7 million to Teddy Bridgewater.
I'm just adding context to his decision.
Right.
It wasn't as simple as you make it.
I think it is, though. I think he's trying to win, and he thought Teddy Bridgewater is the best chance to win.
Oh, imagine, right? Mark, imagine Wes and Greg both on the same jury, but having different opinions on something, and then the other...
I mean, I'm on team sure. Get
that,
Out of
that
There.
That could be like a vague traffic ticket that stays in LA court systems for the next 7 or 8 months.
You misread my motivations.
No, we
don't.
I
was on a jury. I am on team Get Home as Soon as Possible. You know, whatever.
What about Team Justice?
Yeah, you don't care if you're going to put an innocent man behind bars to get home in
time? If it's a dog-biting civil trial, no, I don't care. You know, whatever everyone's going with, let's get out of here.
I don't think Wes would let you get out of the deliberation room that easily. You would fight for justice.
We have no leadership in this country. What's my motivation for serving on a jury and doing a civic duty when no one else in this country cares?
All right, everyone's out on this chore, this civic chore. Next topic.
You've stated, Mark, that you'd be totally cool with like a 7-month homicide, thorny issues, sequester scenario.
One of these cases that just becomes more explosive, multi-layered, and it's like, guys, I know that we said this would only take a month, but we now have to put you up in a hotel. You can't see anyone else from society. You can only hang out together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to go in like 18, 19 months, maybe a trial of the decade, if not
something that makes the OJ trial look like a dog
ship
biting
into the
case.
Distance, right.
Yeah. Something that it's not just about the people in the case. You hold up the mirror and there's America.
I mean, you come out of it talking to like Larry King Jr. You come out of it with like two or three books that you sell. Like, you know, and when you're allowed to talk after, you just do the talk show circuit.
Who's Larry King Jr.?
I mean, I'm assuming Larry King would be gone by the time this would be happening.
Still
out of the
around.
Mix.
I didn't even know there was a Larry King.
I'm saying this happens 10 years from now.
Moving on. The Sports Business Journal has an interesting report that the NFL may add flex scheduling to the next Monday Night Football contract. Interesting. The SBJ reports that the NFL has asked teams for feedback on moving games from Sunday to Monday during the season. The league asked teams questions like how much notice they think they would need to prepare a move from Sunday afternoon to Monday night, and it should be known that any such change could not be made and would not be made until the new TV contracts are agreed upon. The current ESPN Monday Night Football deal runs through 2021, and the league Sunday deals with CBS and Fox and NBC through 2022. So this is kind of a down the road type thing. And it made me think once again, and we talked about this, it's gone kind of quiet on this front, but it bubbled up last month that ESPN was perhaps preparing or had prepared a massive contract offer for Tony Romo, and ostensibly he would join Monday Night Football and be their lead analyst. You would think if you're making that type of offer, maybe they want a situation they would be all for, obviously, and maybe there'd be a real push to give Monday Night Football its identity back as one of the premier games of the week, which it has lost. It still hits every once in a while, four or five games a week, where it is truly one of the best games of the week.
Funny thing is, they had more big games this year than Sunday Night Football in the end, but it was a good year for them.
Right. But in general, since Sunday Night Football really took hold in the last 10, 15 years, Monday Night Football has been on the short end.
Well, they've found a way to turn what, you know, growing up was the premier weekly football event into something not very special. I would love to see Monday Night Football treated the same way we treat Sunday Night Football. I think in the past it was like, uh-oh, but what if you had tickets for Sunday and now your family has to go on Monday? It's like these people that go to these games go to them no matter what. They're going to go.
It's majorly detrimental to ticket buyer. It's just making the choice, which is a common one, that the TV audience is way more important than a family going to a game.
But it is. And they've already made that.
That kills you if you're changing from Monday to Sunday and you planned a trip.
That's fine, but they've already told us that the family matters a lot less than the television audience in every single scenario. I would do two Monday night games, and I would have Saturday triple headers from Thanksgiving to the end of the year and lighten that insane Sunday slate where you can't possibly keep up with all the stuff that's happening at once.
Spread it out. This goes back to my old idea of two football games a day. I don't really like this idea anymore. But
Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
I used to like two football games a day once the season starts. The math works. Just all season, two games a day.
Just during that last month
for
Saturday. Just for Saturdays when college goes dead.
Thursday night football, I understand it's never going to go away. It's the most important program that we have on this network. And you know, I'm all in support of things that pay the bills here. Monday is going to be always going to have a game. Sunday night, I get it. That's the showcase. But Sunday should still be a big slate of games. That's what, you know, the NFL was founded on. I don't like this, like, breaking it up too much.
Well, the only thing is, what about on this Sunday week 16 when somehow, because of the TV finagling, like, the best game of the day is stuck at, like, 10 a.m. Pacific time when there should have been an extra slot to put these
We had a great triple header this year in one of those late weeks on Saturday. Yeah, maybe throw in one or two more of those. Also interesting in this report was that they would – it sounds like, at least to me, it's interesting. Move it back to ABC. Take it off ESPN. Or that it would be on both.
Interesting. Moving on.
ESPN has a lot of nerve. They want to flex into better games. I want to flex into a much better broadcast on Monday nights. Please.
Well, that needs to be part of it. I mean, they've got to...
We'll find out what's going on there. That's all kind of hanging in the air. Not hanging in the air is the Jacksonville Jaguars' plans to play in London in 2020. The Jaguars announced, this happened last week, but we did not get to it. The Jaguars announced that the Jags will play two of their home games at Wembley Stadium over consecutive Sundays in 2020, making them the first team in NFL history to play two home games outside the United States in the same regular season. The team will touch down in London to play an additional home game to the one international matchup they've traditionally played as host in recent seasons. And the move, according to the Jaguars, demonstrates a major step forward in the franchise's ongoing commitment to the UK fan base. And I would say, Wes, that if you are a Jags fan living in Florida, in that area of Jacksonville, Duval, that despite the team telling you, Don't worry. We're not going anywhere. We're invested in this area. We're not looking to move. Well, now you're there for 2 weeks straight. To me, it sends a message that they really are looking at this thing as an option in the long term.
So you see it as sort of a first step on the way. It's like a foothold, right?
I mean,
they've been building that foothold for years.
It's like the next move. It's almost like the second step. It's like the first step, let's go there every year. Let's do a lot of PR work to try to get our foot in there. So there's a lot of Jaguars jerseys in London that weekend. Now here's the second step. We're staying there for 2 weeks. We're giving up, what's the math?
A quarter of their inventory.
Hey, you don't.
25% of your home games now over back-to-back weeks.
You don't build your colony on Mars the first trip. You got to establish a foothold and then do it gradually if you're going to make that move.
It's a very tricky balance. Immediately, Jaguars fans, there was an outcry. There's a fan group that's formed, like this coalition, you know, tens of thousands of people signing it and trying to have their rights heard because they're losing a game. And one of the more salient points that I saw some of the fans make is, we're never getting that game back. I mean, that game is very likely gone for good. So now we're at 6, and is it going to go to 4? And, of course, you know, the worry would be that it goes to nothing. And Shad Khan and the Jaguars are trying to balance this of keeping the Jacksonville fans happy. And they're saying, well, you know, it's a small market. We can't – it's been tough selling all the tickets, so this is like one less game to sell. But that it's very tricky. It does remind me a little bit of the Rams in St. Louis, where they sort of felt like they had one foot out but had to pretend like they didn't for a long time.
Where do you rank Jacksonville in terms of tradition and support among the 32 franchises?
Well, tradition, it's low because it's, you know, one of the
right, but like teams.
Teams
but I think that in deserve terms, to have a team in cities that deserve to have a team in the NFL.
I'd say their fan base is very strong, I think.
I think they have a very passionate fan base, but if you're the problem is you have Shad Khan. When they write the history of a team finally going to London, there will be chapters written about Shad Khan's involvement, no matter what happens with the Jaguars in the end. But his interest in growing the league, which is very much in line with the NFL, has nothing to do with how Jaguars fans feel, no matter how much we view their support from their hometown. They're slowly, methodically, in their minds, getting fleeced out of two games here. It's not just one, it's two. It's two games a year. And if you're an owner, though, and you think, if I could just wipe this slate clean, and 5 years from now, we could be in London dealing with Wembley and Tottenham and this rabid growing fan base, or do I want to plant a team in Jacksonville? I think the answer would be clear, and there's a natural tension there because Jacksonville is starting to feel in the rearview mirror.
He was not their founding owner, and Khan has done as much as he can to try to assure them. The NFL loves it too because the NFL is losing, you know, teams that want to go over there and give up a home game, with the Rams and the Chargers and the Raiders all having new stadiums. Those were like ripe teams to force to go to London. Now the Jaguars are saying, hey, we'll take two. That's two of the four games they're going to try to have there that they're going to have next year. And that like everyone is happy about that except for Jacksonville fans.
Wes, name the Alabama quarterback who suffered the hip injury but was a phenom before that.
Tua?
Yeah, what's his last name?
Tua Tagovailoa.
Pretty good.
Something like that?
Is that correct?
I call him Tua T, but that was well pronounced by Wes, as far as I know.
On this show, we call him Tua. And Tua's scan shows his fractured hip has healed, which is great news because, as I just said, he was entering the 2019 college season and the 2019 NFL season, the guy that everyone was talking about, even more than Joe Burrow, as this guy that you would scam for, the guy that you would tank for. And then he got this terrible injury, and there was questions about whether he'd be able to get his full level of health. And it looks like he will be. So the 3-month CT scan on the fractured hip, positive as possible. It's healed, according to Rap Sheet. The hip and its range of motion are good, and it will be another month before he's cleared for football activities, Rap Sheet added. Just a reminder, and this is good Move the Stick season. That's why I think it's smart. I just saw recently that there's a podcast, the Move the Sticks podcast. It makes sense that it's something that they roll out solely during the draft, and they just keep it from, let's say, February through the first week of May. And then, you know, obviously you make it disappear then until people care to hear you again.
Dan, it's a 365 all year round podcast. Move the Sticks.
Yeah, there are reports that they attempt to wage on through the entire actual pro football season, too.
You're kidding me.
That's
during the NFL. Well, yeah, you know, clearly interest probably dries up a little bit during that part of year. but this is a good time of year.
Oh,
by
great
the way,
time.
The correct pronunciation.
Subscribe and download.
You are supposed to say tongue to start.
Oh, that's cool.
So
tongue Tua?
No, Tagovailoa. So he has spelled it out a few
tongue
times.
Tua's
and I'm just catching
tongue
up to this,
nice.
Too. But yeah, Tagovailoa.
And keep in mind that starting at 5, you have a run of 3 teams who appear to be in desperate need of a quarterback. The Dolphins, the Chargers, and Panthers, 5, 6, 7. So Tua, I feel like he's probably going to be on one of those teams. I don't want to go full Jeremiah here. And mock that thing out.
I think you're right. I think the Lions are the X factor, whether the Lions would consider taking him, and then if not, that the Lions trade that pick and someone moves up to grab him there.
What do you say every year, Mark? I don't want to hear these quarterbacks are going
sixth or seventh.
They're going first and second. Somebody's going to trade up for two.
Well, we spent 3 months arguing about Kyler Murray last year, and it's just like, just fast forward to when it actually happens the way we all know it will. They're going to go top 3, top 4. The Lions are in a perfect place.
When's your draft coming out, your mock draft?
I mean, that, you know, I like to gather information and work with sources and farm out some of it. I give information back and get it in return.
There's already some mocks on the site, so you're falling by. MJD just had his mock today. You know, we're hurting for content so much on the network that MJD released his mock, and then other people talked about it today on NFL Now.
I'm not sure you're framing MJD in the most positive light there, Greg, with the way
I'm saying he wasn't even on to talk about it.
What?
People were just like,
Sizzler's smart here.
Time of year.
He's doing the, now that Mayock's out of the game as the GM of the Raiders,
sure.
But he did the
stepped
thing.
Right into
everybody
that place.
Do your little cute Mach 1.0, 2.0, 7.0, 12.0.
3.2.
Mayock, bang, drops it right before the draft. That's the mock. That's, I believe, what you're going
to do. Yeah, I mean, I think when you know, you want to pull from masters when you're learning to do things your own way. Now, I'm going to add my own original spin to all this, but I think that the Mayock timeline works.
There's
I don't
only,
need to be releasing one on February 11th.
No, there's only a 1.0 when it comes to the Seth
That's right.
draft.
And Eric Weddle retires after 13 seasons. The 35-year-old safety announced his retirement last week after 13 seasons with the Chargers, Ravens, and Rams. Didn't even have a single surgery. It's my favorite Weddle stat. He had a great career. Five-time All-Pro, in fact. But he had his first surgery earlier this month. He did a little shave down in the knee area. Before that, never. At a position as physical as that, to play as long as he had, some people were born to play the sport.
And I think he had a quote that really put into context like what it takes to play in the NFL. He said, "The idea of getting ready for another NFL season made me want to throw up."
That's when you know it's time.
That's when it's time to go.
When you look at the Pro Football Reference comparisons, comps for where someone is after how many years Weddle played, Steve Atwater, Willie Wood from the Packers, Johnny Robinson from the Chiefs, and Johnny Schell from the Steelers, all four of them Hall of Famers.
There's a waiting list.
Five times, first and second team combined. Those guys usually have a pretty strong chance to get in. I think Weddle might be a tougher case because of so many things that he did that are tough to define. But I appreciated, of course, when you retire, people say nice things about you, but the kind
Maybe.
Of the intensity of it from his teammates, especially as him as kind of one that kept their defenses together on whatever team he was. He seemed like he got about as much respect as any player or any safety, at least in the league.
Nice little closer from Kevin Patron, NFL.com. Famously known for chowing down ice cream after wins with his family. Now Weddle has plenty of time for Sunday desserts as he enters the next phase after an illustrious NFL career.
That's a pro.
Kevin Patra.
See what he did there with Sunday? It's like, double meaning.
Keisha told me that Patra is so efficient on morning news that the people in the desk can't even keep up with him.
Can't do it. I mean, the guy's... we all did it.
Desk, though.
We all did it, and once you really start to get into the groove of it, there's a skill. He's been doing it for how long now?
Well,
part of a decade.
I think he's solidly written more articles for NFL.com than anyone else ever
in the history of NFL.com.
He's got it.
Easily.
He's got the strap.
And maybe he's, because we've stopped doing that, he may be lapping people at this point. Well, I'm not kidding. If you looked it up, I would not be surprised.
Wes, I have to ask the question. I'll ask the question. You are famously yourself not a fan of counting stats. Does that mean anything to you?
What, the fact that Patra is the most read writer in the history of this website?
Not that. That he's written the most articles.
Yes, it means something to me.
There are many times when he wrote an article that we would have had to write instead. So it means a lot to me, and I will be sending him many psychological gifts.
Gifts
of the mind. Thanks.
Has there ever been a more worthless gift than a psychological gift of the mind?
Probably not.
he's not only efficient and durable, but he's valuable enough that they've kept him around.
Oh, he's done a great job.
I mean, nobody's retired him.
Don't discount Pat Kerwin in terms of those page views. Because back in the day, it's like they only had three articles a week, and two of them were Kerwin's. He's dominating that website.
From a ratio perspective, less
competition. It was like two for Kerwin, and let's get old Gil in here, or Vic Carucci maybe.
Patra's doing that by 4:45 a.m.
That's why they called Kerwin the ratio goat, which never really caught on. But
did
I
didn't catch on. I'm not.
Finally, in the news, XFL debuted this weekend, and there was, if you care to pay attention. People seem to be overly on balance. People seem to be happy with the product or pleasantly surprised with the product from the XFL. I was in a situation. I had to go back home for a family situation. We lost a loved one. And so in those situations, for instance, so the service was on Friday. Then Saturday, I'm at my parents' place with my brother and really nothing to do. So we ended up watching the Dragons Defenders tilt, watched the whole game. The whole thing. Those are teams.
I thought that was a movie you were talking about.
Hold that thought because I'm going to get to that in a second. But, yeah, that would have been my takeaway too, that it looked professional in terms of the presentation, and the play wasn't terrible. Did I feel like I needed to watch four quarters of Cardale Jones scrambling and then trying to hit a receiver breaking off his route? No, that felt excessive at this time of year. But also, I didn't see an embarrassing level of play. I didn't watch a ton of AAF. The crowd was not huge anywhere. But, you know, they looked like they were getting about 20,000 for the first week. But the thing to keep in mind for all this stuff, and Greg, I know you probably chewed some tape on this, is don't judge a league like this after week one. Let's get to about week five, week six, and see where the attendance numbers are, where the attrition rate is, see what the level of play is at, because this is that's when it gets really difficult to launch a league.
I chewed zero tape, unlike Mark Sessler, who watched a lot of it.
Well, so to me, I was wanting not to like it.
Witness it.
I was hoping not to like it because I don't need a lot of, you know, other stuff happening football-wise in February, but watched it with my two young boys, and they enjoyed it, and they want to go to an LA game and all this stuff. I think it was the four highest-rated sports events of the weekend in that critical 18 to 40 something category they're looking for. So it's like if you can get kids hooked.
Well, it was a competition, but
going up against the World Series.
Legit NBA, you know, national games with big teams.
NBA ratings.
I thought the coaching seemed to be better than some of these other experimental leagues. And it does, how do you get sucked in if there's no actual stars? If you're us and you're watching typically NFL, you're looking for new fans. I think that are one thing they can blow up the NFL rule book and say, we want to do what we want. You have an extra point scenario where you can get one, two, or three points based on how far you want to go out of the end zone. That's a good idea. And like, that's the thing, though. Is that still a novelty a month from now? Does anyone care a month from now?
Kickoff stuff. Yeah, I think it could be a good breeding ground for trying different coaching and officiating.
Dino Blandino is the head of officiating. You want to talk about getting a nice little paycheck.
Really?
Yeah. He is the head of officiating for the XFL, and he's involved with the broadcast, which is a pretty good get for them. Their slogan when it comes to replay review is less stall and more ball. And I'd be remiss not to say that the game that I did watch, Wes, because you're pumping your fist, but there is a consequence to less stall and more ball. They have the guys mic'd up and on camera during this process, and clearly the dude in one of the replays was rushing it because less stall, more ball, and he blew the call because he only looked at it twice, and he was like, oh, this is a tough one. Stick with the call on the field, and it was plainly wrong. A rusher was laying on top of a defender, and he spotted the ball as if his knee was down.
You'd prefer to take 6 minutes to make the wrong call.
I just give me the right call. Give me the right
call. You're not getting it. I'm sorry, but replay has made more wrong calls than before replay.
Diana Rossini, who's all over the place, they have this whole ESPN sideline thing where they get the people immediately after the play, which is going to lead to things like this.
I know you're in the bottom there. What happened?
I don't know. There's just a lot of trying after a play. We're trying to make some stuff happen, and they're doing a little extra pushing and shoving. We're trying to get a f-ing job done.
So that's going to happen a lot. Pepper Johnson got fired by the L.A. Wildcats as their D.C. after one game.
Whoa!
And my last comment, you'll know the XFL is making progress when there aren't articles on our website about the week that happened. When there aren't. Because the NFL will be like, ooh, these guys are real competition.
Right. Eradicate all knowledge of them.
That's a good point.
And lastly, my power rankings of the team names. There are eight teams. Ricky? Number eight. The St. Louis Battlehawks. I don't like any one-word name. It's two words, and then there's two capital letters.
Capital H in there? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Yep.
What are the Hawks supposed to be battling? Each other?
Seven, the D.C. Defenders. Is it all about the defense? You know, I don't. This seems weird. Six, the L.A. Wildcats. I just feel like Wildcats pretty well done at this point.
Right out.
Every college basketball
are
team
there Wildcats
Wildcat.
In L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
I guess so.
Bro.
Guess so. There's plenty.
Up in the hills, yeah. Dude.
Cougars, bro.
Crossing the highways.
Five, the New York Guardians.
And Inglewood.
New York Guardians.
Defenders and Guardians?
Yeah.
Feels like what job
but
track am I on? I
to be a guardian for a sports team.
I will give them credit.
Like the security guards.
Yeah.
No New York / New Jersey thing, which all these startup leagues can't get over that hump. They just went with New York. Four, the Houston Roughnecks. Not bad.
I like that.
Not bad.
It's a little too close to Rednecks, but
number three.
What are you going to do?
Number three, the Dallas Renegades. Not bad.
I feel like I've heard it before, but it's fair.
Number two, Tampa Bay Vipers. That's good. And nice logo, too.
That's Luke.
You got to have a snake pit motif if you're a Viper.
9-year-old Luke jumped on Vipers right away, and I was trying to, like I said, this is the second Tampa Bay team with suspect uniforms. Didn't care. Went right down that hole.
And number one, congratulations, Mina Kimes, the Seattle Dragons.
Just hankering for to do power rank something. And it's just like I need to power rank it.
Dragons number one.
Disagree?
Eh, solid.
Just get people talking.
Solid. I don't know. I was about. Expecting something a little more from the wilderness.
That's what's happening in the news. Hey, Ricky Hollywood, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, guys.
Hey.
How was birthday number 28?
28 was good. Yeah, didn't make the 27 club, but I guess that's something to be happy about.
As in you didn't die.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's great.
But that also means like I'm not a generational talent. You know?
It doesn't mean – I mean, yeah, there are generational talents who made it beyond 27.
That's true. That's true.
Paul McCartney's still kicking.
There you go.
So that's what –
according to some.
You have to live for now.
Yeah.
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 You want to be the McCartney now at this point.
Yep. Surpass.
Not the Cobain. anything else to report from the birthday?
No, it was good. A bunch of dinners and bar parties and –
did you invite the fellas? I was out of town, but
– I didn't because I wanted to do a dinner with us when all of us can be together. I know you were out of town. Wes is going out of town. Greg won't show up. You know, like, right. I just have to sort of
– okay.
Figure out a time.
So does that mean the Ricky birthday week is actually continuing then?
Yeah.
In a way?
I mean, it's not fair that my birthday is right after Super Bowl. You know, everybody does their own little things, and I wouldn't expect you guys to, you know, you've just been away from your families for a week, and it's good to extend it.
Get any extra thirsty podcast listeners that sent a birthday wish that was maybe a little too much?
None that were, well, a couple DMs in the Instagram DMs that were a little too
thirsty.
Much, but the other ones that were like very public, you know, tweets and all that, I appreciated them so much. It was so nice.
Good.
Felt so loved.
See, I told you they'd love you.
Yeah.
You always worry that they wouldn't love you, but they love you.
Yeah.
We love you.
Well, that's all that matters.
Let's spin the QB carousel. All right, let's get this right. Let's, because what's today?
The 11th of February, one day after the 10th, which was Erica's birthday.
That's correct. 2/11/20. I'm marking it right now. Let's kind of put our heads together and make some predictions here, too. Let's start with Phil Rivers. There was a report, Greg, out there that the Bucks are legit in.
Yeah, that was from the ESPN Bucks writer. I feel like our network has been downplaying that more. Mike Garofalo and Ian, they seem to believe that Jameis Winston is likely to be back with the Bucks. Just one of these things needs to change, and then it all can go crazy. I'm a little worried that the carousel won't really be spinning that much, but Rivers is the one we know is out there.
Well, this carousel
and in Indianapolis,
like
if the Colts really went for Rivers, then that is fun. Give me some Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis. Well, that's what I want to happen.
That one feels like it's going to happen, doesn't it? He's Frank Reich, he's already worked for several times as offensive coordinator for the Chargers.
Yep.
Nick Sirianni, the Colts coordinator, is an actual good friend of Rivers, as in a buddy.
Mm.
Like, they hang out. So the Colts, to me, one of the reasons why this happened the way it did with the Chargers is because Rivers already knows he's going to end up in, or at least that's an option for him.
A question that Bucks fans at least are asking, I think is fair, is would Phillip Rivers even be an upgrade over Jameis Winston? And I think that's a fair question to ask. And if you're in Indianapolis, is Phillip Rivers enough of an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett? My answer would be yes.
I think
he has a chance to still play pretty well. But this is a 38-year-old who even as I'm defending him, did not have a good Well, you 2019.
Want, no, he didn't. You want him in a dome stadium where his arms, the decreasing arm strength isn't as big of a factor, and you want him behind a good offensive line like the Colts have.
I don't know if bad Phillip Rivers is that different or any better than Jameis Winston. If you get the bad version, if you get a more increasingly declined version, I don't know why Arians is signing up for that.
All right.
So I can't see it.
Let's send Rivers to Indianapolis. That's good. Right? Lock it in?
Lock it in. By the way, you're the first person, Dan, who I heard say that.
I
way back in like
it made
late
sense.
October.
It made sense then. It still makes sense now. And they can kick the can a little bit, the Colts, and figure out who their long-term guy is.
They can draft someone.
I'm throwing one wild card out there. I'm not pushing for it because I won't get consensus. The Raiders, Gruden, and Rivers for 1 or 2 years, maybe just one.
Is that an upgrade over Derek Carr?
I am not saying that it is a huge upgrade, but it feels like something that Gruden could sign up for.
Well, it feels like every quarterback we're going to mention Gruden would sign up for.
Like, he likes his veterans, though. I don't think that Gruden and a 21-year-old, I don't know.
Like, we're going to go through these free agents, and I think that the potential trades out there, like Carr or Cam or Foles even, or Taysom Hill, if you want to believe in that.
Cam's the wild card, I think.
Are all kind of wild cards where if one of them gets traded, if Carr is suddenly gone or available, then that changes everything.
All right, let's spin it. And this is a big name, obviously, Tom Brady. And I'll start with this one. I would be stunned if he ends up anywhere else. So I'm going to say the carousel stops and he sticks right where he is. Even if he also moved his house and headed out of state, he's not long for New England either way. But for another year, especially if they end up poning up the $30 million or whatever. And again, the Patriots, then, it also gives them the opportunity, like the Colts, to draft a quarterback and start developing someone. This time, though, for real, it didn't work out with Jimmy G because Brady just kept playing. But this time, they actually would be grooming a young kid for the future. Brady stays in New England. Who disagrees? Who agrees?
I'm with you 100%. I think he wants to be wanted, and this process might address some of that, and then have New England come out in a total pantomime show and say, yes, we're going to pay you a lot. Yes, you know, the quote was weapons at. He wants stuff added around him. He doesn't want to be in last year's offense. I think all that, New England is the best situation for him. For him to seamlessly not start over with a new playbook, work with Josh McDaniels and hope that you get it right.
And probably the best situation for the Patriots. Are they really going to, you know, do better than him? I think it'd be difficult. Don't buy the talk that the idea that he could make it to free agency, and this has been on our network too, and see what he's worth and then come back. I mean, if you're talking about, I want more weapons and, you know, he wants the team around him to be good. If he gets to free agency and comes back, they have to pay whatever Tom Brady's going to cost plus $13.5 million in dead cap money. It makes no sense. I just can't see Bill Belichick operating like that. I think the Patriots at some point will have to say, if you reach free agency, like, we're moving on. They either get the deal done before free agency starts or not, because otherwise it makes no sense to bring him back plus $13 million of fake money.
Mm.
He, Lord knows he's earned the benefit of the doubt, but I'm still floored by how much benefit of the doubt he's getting compared to other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree.
And people keep mentioning the Titans, and if you're the Titans, why in the world, you've got Ryan Tannehill, who you're probably going to keep, who can escape pressure, who's athletic, and can hit passes down the field, and you're going to move on from him for the Tom Brady who played in 2019? I don't see that at all.
The only issue there is that any of the 31 other owners would sign up for scenarios like that. In many cases where Tom Brady changes everything people think about your team for the next year, from a coaching angle,
I do wonder, like, if this is one where the insiders don't have a good read on it, kind of like Peyton Manning back in the day, because it's such a big deal. But if you believe that the insiders had a read on it, it really feels like it's just Chargers or Patriots, that there's not going to be the level of interest by any other team. And even that, the Chargers feel like a pretty big underdog in that scenario.
All right, Drew Brees, spin the carousel, Mark.
Drew Brees, to me, is staying with the Saints or doing nothing else. He sort of made that clear. And so I think that they're bringing him back. And he had very interesting comments where he basically said, if they want to give Taysom Hill, for instance, 25 or 30 touches, that he'd be open to that. And I do see what I'm hoping for. What I'm, my wish list item would be a Hill Breeze two-headed combo sting your butt offense where you don't know if it's going to come by land or through air or how, and you put them both on the field a bunch and you just go Sean Payton fever dream scenario and you don't get rid of either. I just think Breeze would never wind up anywhere else. That's my guess, but
retirement would be the other option.
Well, sure, but I'm saying with another team. Him going to the Chargers would be a nice way to wrap all that, but that's not going to happen.
He said it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. Basically, I'm going for
but he's station. Trying to throw the retirement stuff out there as a real thing, and people who cover the game like Booger McFarland said he thinks Breeze is going to retire. There's some Saints fans that buy it. I feel like this is the only leverage that Breeze has is to say he's going to retire, and I really do think the end game for them is they're trying to get rid of Taysom Hill.
Why would they want to get rid of Taysom Hill?
Because I can't really figure out why they've been trying to inflate his stock otherwise.
Don't you think that – I know there's all these conspiracy theories that Sean Payton's been doing this for 3 years, inflating his stock. He called him Steve Young in August.
Right.
Way after contract negotiation is done. There's no leverage.
That's a long game.
August.
I don't know. Like the Patriots,
you
don't
think there's curiosity?
He's the equivalent of like Michael Lombardi talking up Ryan Mallett.
Here's a point against for the sell of it all, that he called him Steve Young in August. Drew Brees busts up his thumb in week two. And then you put the other guy in there. You didn't put
he's
him
been
in.
On the team.
Well, we talked about that, but right, I think that would be different next September.
He's
next
been on the
October.
Team for 3 years, though. This is not a young player in the
there
NFL.
There was never
not
a time to get
old.
A look at him. That
he's,
was it.
He's been with the Saints on their roster for 3 years. I don't know.
What if it's not a leverage thing and he just gets overexcited about quarterbacks and toys like John Gruden always has? Some coaches just like to throw sunshine.
Well, here's the thing. Or maybe he's trying to pacify Taysom Hill, who has now said publicly he believes he's a franchise quarterback, and if the Saints don't see me that way, then maybe I should be playing elsewhere. I think he clearly is interested in seeing if there's a team out there that wants him. I just am skeptical that they will, especially if they put a first-round tenor on him, forget about it.
Like, seeing what he did against the Vikings and seeing how he's, like, you – in my notes, almost every game, I'm writing Saints need more Taysom Hill. Why would Sean Payton say I got to get rid of this guy? I don't understand that.
For Breeze, who would be on the final year
for a first round pick?
Can they afford to pay both those guys?
Well, he's a restricted free agent, so he'll be cheap.
So what does that mean exactly?
So they just need to put a tender on him, a first or a second or the original round one, and it's a low 1 year contract that they can keep Taysom Hill for. It'll be a
like
handful.
$3 million.
Yeah, handful, like $3 million, something like that. Or they could put a second round tender and see if they can.
But you're not paying Teddy Bridgewater.
Taysom Hill, where
I
is he then?
So, no.
Is he back in New Orleans?
That's my thing is both Saints. I just say, I think you double down on what was beginning to be a very good thing and you can navigate out of stormy waters.
I look at the Chargers and Panthers as two possibilities. The Chargers.
Panthers.
As much as people keep putting Tom Brady on the Chargers, it doesn't make any sense to me since Anthony Lynn is quite clearly wanted a more athletic quarterback behind center, which Taysom Hill would be. And if the Panthers get rid of Cam Newton, seems like Taysom Hill could be a good experiment for a franchise that is looking to be pretty progressive in the way they think.
All right, Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Wes.
This is the wild card, and I think I'd lean toward him staying with the Panthers. But I've noticed for about 6 months now, every time Ian Rappaport talks about this, he refuses to say Cam Newton's going to be back with the Panthers. And if you parse it a little bit, it just seems like it's coming from upstairs. It's coming from the very top of the flow chart that maybe they're ready to turn the page. And yet, if you don't have anybody to replace him, how do you get rid of a guy with his talent? Even though he's a wild card, both in the quarterback picture and with his health and what kind of quarterback he's going to be going forward.
I thought they would want to keep him because why not see what he looks like in this new offense and then move on after that if it doesn't work. But, man, Mike Garafolo, talk about it today, almost said it matter-of-factly that Cam's going to be available. Like, he is going to be available. And to me, the Chargers, I just love this combo. This is the guy to open your stadium with. This is a guy that Anthony Lynn, I think, could get behind. You even got Tyrod behind him somehow kind of fits. Like, Cam to the Chargers, let's fly. It could totally not work, but I feel like it'd be a big swing worth taking.
It's kind of played out, almost as played out as much as Taysom Hill was the best player on the field in that playoff game, is that the Chargers desperately need somebody to open up that new building with that they could sell tickets around, and Tom Brady would be the number one guy. Cam would be somebody that you that would bring some juice there, absolutely, and something that if you're a Chargers fan, if it's a bittersweet situation with Phil Rivers, if Cam has a nice spring and his arm's looking good and the vibe is upbeat around him, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I kind of like that idea of the Chargers and Cam Newton.
It works. Whenever I think about Cam Newton in a different uniform, it keeps coming up as Chicago Bears.
Why?
I just think that they need to make – they desperately – now, do I trust that the Chicago will self-examine to the degree of realizing they need to have a different situation at quarterback? But I just love the idea of Cam Newton in Chicago for no more reason than that. I don't – you can connect him to the Chargers, but there's not any facts surrounding him with that either. I mean, I don't necessarily love him on the Chargers just because they're the Chargers.
With the Bears, I would put them more in that Titans club of a year ago where they might get like a Teddy Bridgewater, put him behind
– then I'd have to ask, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing at quarterback if you're going to replace Mitch Trubisky?
I kind of have this image of I don't mind a world where it's Teddy Bridgewater and Jarrett Stidham for the AFC East champion 2020 Patriots. It's just get weird.
that would be very
awkward.
Weird.
So what are we doing with Cam Newton? What's our final decision? We're putting him on the Chargers?
I mean, it's tough to all agree, but I am.
In this case, we have different viewpoints, obviously. So the Panthers make sense. If you want to go there, the Chargers, I like that. Greg does as well. Mark is saying the Bears.
Do not like that. I can tell by the tone of your
voice.
Don't think it's likely based on what we know and what the GM said.
Well, I think a lot of stuff that happens is unknown at this point. The idea that what we know...
Reporting around any of this. Like the Raiders, you could almost throw the Raiders for every team, but maybe John Gruden would be interested in Cam Newton. That would be fun. Maybe the Jaguars, I think they're probably going to go forward with Gardner Minshew. But could they be an X factor like in all of this too? Get spicy, Jaguars.
Dak, Tannehill, both staying with their teams, I assume we believe in.
Yes. I do.
Tannehill just fired his agent. Sucks to be a guy's agent, and then like right as they're going to hit a major payday, he went.
Ouchers.
It's a tough break.
CAA. There's been no indication that he would be leaving, and I think the Titans-Brady connection has been pretty summarily dismissed, not just by West, but by a few others. So I think it doesn't make any sense.
And finally, Jameis Winston. Spin the carousel of doom for Jameis Winston.
Dun, 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 dun. My fear is that all these guys are going back to their teams. It's not going to be as fun as we think. So I'm going to put them on the Raiders. Let's have John Gruden get wild and just think he can be the man who fixes Jameis Winston. And
that's
that combination,
so
I don't even know if
it's so perfect because
sense,
Gruden's pulling out his hair because his quarterback won't take any shots. So he goes all the way to the other side of the spectrum and gets the guy who is chemically addicted to taking shots at all times. And, you know, they finish 7-9 either way.
Derek Carr then goes to the Panthers. I mean, why not?
Carr's a bit of... I mean, I don't know how you sell Winston as a starter anywhere outside of Tampa Bay where they believe because the GM drafted him that they can stick with him.
I think he's staying in Tampa Bay. I know he messed himself up a little bit there with those last 2 weeks, but remember the reporting out there 8 days before the season was over is that Tampa was all good. We're good. He's our guy. He's coming back.
That's
and then he bombed out those 2 games.
I don't listen
to
any of that junk, though.
That's a league leader in yards and interceptions. Jameis Winston, you're talking about 5,100 yards, Jameis.
And like second in touchdowns, second or third in touchdowns.
I'm going to throw one wild card at you.
8.2 yards per attempt.
One wild card. I would be willing to bet a sandwich that Matthew Stafford is not the week one starter in Detroit and not on the Lions roster. And that's where the
Fortier, track this one, please.
That's where the sandwich prop ends. But my guess right now and where I can see him again, it's just like keeps coming to mind, is Matthew Stafford your week one Chargers starter.
Mm. Okay. I love what you're doing here with the Stafford not on the Lions thing, but I'm going to take the sandwich.
Sure.
Yeah, I will take the sandwich as well.
I will too, but I think you got a shot here.
I would love to get a little bit more background on why there's this buzz about Matthew Stafford and the Lions having a...
Because there was buzz last year before the draft, which I...
New coach.
There was posturing, and maybe that's all it was. But you are sitting in a prime scenario at number three to get one of these quarterbacks and kind of start over. And I think that, not that you're thinking about Matthew Stafford, but I can't think of a quarterback who might suddenly take it up a notch by being on a different team in a different organization. If we say that about Phillip Rivers, I certainly feel that way about the Lions, but I think the Lions might be ready to move on with something different at quarterback.
He was excellent before he got hurt.
It's not because he stinks. It's not because he's a detriment to the team.
Don't they have enough holes, especially on defense, where they can look at that draft?
Do five totally unpredictable things happen between now and the draft?
If you believe Tua, who was going to be the, you know, everyone thought was going to be the number one overall draft pick before this, you know, hip injury, and Burrow's rise, you know, if you believe in him as like a generational type of guy, it's not a crazy thing. And you can get a lot for Matthew Stafford, you would think.
There are people who believe Tua, even after the hip injury, has a much higher ceiling than Joe Burrow.
I would love to see, if I was a Lions fan and I liked and thought that Matthew Stafford had 3 to 5, you know, great years left, to take that pick and leverage it to end up having 3 or 4 first round picks in this year and next, and then restock that defense, which has been a disgrace.
That's fine. All I'd say is you got to trust the front office to do that. I think they can. I don't have to trust them.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if I was looking at that roster,
Matthew Stafford and the Lions since 2009. And they feel to me like the same team the entire time. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying,
but I'm saying build a real team around the guy.
Or do that 10 years ago. I'm with you. I'm not.
But they never have, so maybe this would be an opportunity to really redo that roster the right way.
Before we move on, can I spin the wheel one more time?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
We got a couple guys, but here's one that just keeps getting disrespected. How about the old red rifle?
It's not a wheel, by the way.
It's a carousel. It's a wheel-shaped carousel.
Up in the saddle.
Whatever happened to the red rifle? Hey, it's like everyone forgot he exists. He's still under contract with the Bengals. Very tradable contract.
The Bears. He's the Bears
guy.
There
we go. So you trade him.
He's the
Bears
guy.
Let's put him on the Bears. I like that.
And he's the guy who takes Mitch's job, and then the Bears get better.
That's how Ryan Pace sells this offseason. If you were a Bears fan, would you be excited about that?
No,
I would.
Better than not getting Andy Dalton.
I get it, but
that was excited about Tannehill last offseason.
But we're solving our Mitch Trubisky problem with Andy Dalton.
Yes, because you're getting Mitch Trubisky out of the building or out of that.
Well, here's spot. I got another one for you potentially in Chicago. I just thought of it. Let's spin the old carousel. Nick Foles for like a 6th round draft pick, back to his buddy Matt Nagy. Were they buddies? Yeah, they were together a little bit. And then he's the guy behind Mitchell Trubisky. They're gonna try to dump.
Then he's cracked a rib by week four.
They're gonna try to dump Foles for, and they'll have to pay some of his salary too. It's just a disaster. But I don't think they're gonna want him.
So guys left without a saddle here:
Brissett,
Jacoby Brissett, Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, Marcus Mariota, Joe Flacco, and I don't think Flacco's getting a sniff of a starting job. A
bunch of these guys are backups.
It's a buyer's market.
I think it's very hard, Mark, to...
Unless we want to put Mariota on the Bears, too, and solve their problem with Marcus Mariota, because they...
I think it's very hard, if you're the Bears, to find someone that's going to electrify the fan base this year. They're in a tricky situation where they're going to keep the guy and hope he could figure it out. But if you can get somebody... I think Dalton is almost a perfect comparison point to Tannehill from last year, where you have a guy you put behind him that you know has done it in the past, that if he gets comfortable and is in the right spot, he could be a guy that can help you win games and score points. He's not dynamic. He's not gonna be fat heads. Do they still make fat heads? Not gonna be fat heads all over the walls of kids' rooms in Chicago with Andy Dalton on it. But you never know. He might get hot, and he would be, to me, a clear improvement over there.
Well, on your side of the argument, Bears ownership seems allergic to creating a stir around their team. So that I do not. Andy Dalton fits perfectly with what I seem to think Bears ownership.
I would love to have a Dalton fathead with that red mohawk he used to be doing. Remember when he had the ESPN magazine cover?
What are you going
to
do with
it? And he went the red.
Look good with that haircut, I think.
I would.
What are you going to do with this fathead?
You know, I'd put it on the wall. That's what you do.
Whose wall?
You just gaze longingly into Andy Dalton's eyes every night.
Not in my house.
I don't see that happening.
All right. Don't worry, Mark. The Bears, they'll figure it out eventually.
I am not okay. worried for them, but I, the idea that we're, like, that we're only allowed to shove like raging mid-tier mezzanine level passers onto their roster is like, are they not treated
no, you're right.
the same as any other
I
team?
Hope they look back at what they said on New Year's Eve and are embarrassed that they you know say Trubisky's our guy for sure. Maybe they'll just change their mind. I'd applaud it.
But I think even Cam Newton, yes, there's some sex appeal there, of course, with the name brand, but like, I don't know. To me, Andy Dalton might be a better fit for that situation.
80% of the quarterbacks that we're all that are driving the new ship right now and all of it will be out of the league in 2 years. It's just name recognition, aging name recognition quarterbacks. None of them are the future of the NFL. They'll all be gone within 2 years.
I mean,
preach.
It's just
who cares where Tom Brady goes?
Right, Breeze and Brady, but all these younger guys are
Philip Rivers,
around. Jacoby. You know,
Stone Age Ponies.
Dalton.
All right. We'll be back on Thursday with another show. So make sure you're there for that. And anything else? Wes, have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Plan on it.
When do you leave for?
Thursday morning. You got to find somebody to fill my chair.
Well, that's a test, and we're going to do our best. It's all can be said.
Or it's like when you set a place out for Jesus sometimes, I believe. Or a missing family member. You just put a thing where they would be eating. We do that with Wes.
You
a
just
bowl
like
of cereal or something.
Get a chimp and sit him here and see what happens.
Wes is kind of like a Christ-like figure for this podcast.
What?
All right, let's go.
On that note.
This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, Jesus Christ, the old boss. Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Till Thursday!